Australia is renowned for its golden beaches and clear blue waters. People travel from all over the world to surf Australian waves, soak up the Australian sun, and experience the beauty of the Great Barrier Reef. But as much as we're renowned for our world-class coasts, we're also home to sharks. Each year, there are around 30 unprovoked shark attacks which occur off Australian beaches. Nearly all of these attacks are serious. However, with the wonders of modern medicine and quick responses from well-trained surf lifesavers, very few of these shark encounters are fatal. The probability of being bitten and killed by a shark while swimming or surfing is virtually non-existent. In fact, to put things into perspective, there are on average just 5 fatal shark attacks in the entire world every year. Compare this to the over 400,000 people who die each year from a mosquito-borne illness, and sharks almost seem harmless. But despite the tiny chance of being attacked, there remains a deep-seated fear of sharks in Australian communities. The most fatal animal in Australia is actually a horse, but death by horse just doesn't inspire the same nightmarish, Jaws-esque stigma as death by shark. And one horse-related fatality certainly won't kill off the tourism industry in a small coastal town. And so sharks and the threat of shark attacks remain a popular topic throughout the Australian summer months. And due to a recent spate of attacks on the north coast of New South Wales, the issue has again made headlines, with the state government announcing the installation of 5 new shark nets on popular beaches on the north coast. But what are shark nets? How do they work? And does this 80-year-old technology actually keep swimmers and surfers safe? I had a chat with Dr. Jeff Allen, the Deputy Director General from Fisheries at the Department of Primary Industries, who was at the installation of the 5 new shark nets last week.
So the net trial is part of our strategy, a shark management strategy. It's a $16 million strategy in New South Wales to roll out a range of initiatives to try and reduce the risk of shark attacks in New South Wales. And the meshing trial is one of those strategies.
How involved was the community up there last week?
Well, the community has been very involved in our whole strategy and certainly in the meshing trial. So we've done a fairly comprehensive, a fast-tracked approach to try and get their views. We ran an online survey where we had nearly 5,000 respondents. We had drop-in centres where we personally spoke to about 1,000 people, and we did a random telephone survey of more than 600 people. And sort of those surveys showed us that the people that live in the areas are overall in favour of net trials.
And for listeners who might not know, can you tell me briefly, how do the shark nets work?
Okay, so the shark nets are about a 150 metre length of mesh net. They're about 6 metres deep, and they sit on the bottom of the ocean and float up towards the surface, but they're about 2 metres shy of the surface, between 2 and 4 metres, depending on the depth. And so the nets, they're floating nets but anchored to the bottom, and they're fairly taut. They catch sharks and other things that are swimming either to or from the beach.
And given that the net doesn't go all the way to the surface and doesn't go all the way across the beach on either end, how effective is it in actually preventing sharks from going where the swimmers are and the surfers are?
Well, one of the reasons for the trial is to look at the effectiveness of the nets, and that effectiveness will be judged on 3 basic criteria. So if it's catching of sharks, it's catching of other things, and how the community feels about it. And so obviously we'll be looking at monitoring any responses, any incidents that occur in the beaches. What we can look at is how the shark mesh nets have worked in other places where they've been deployed, and the 2 examples we'd look most closely at is New South Wales, where we have 51 shark nets from Wollongong up to Newcastle, and they've been really in place in one form or another and in different locations since 1937. And in those areas, since the shark mesh nets have been in place, we've only had 1 fatal attack. Now, there have been other attacks, there have been other incidences, but there haven't been any fatal attacks except for that one occasion. The nets do a range of things. They stop sharks aggregating and swimming in those, in staying in one area, and they obviously catch some sharks as well.
Now, last year, the government commissioned a $100,000 review into new technologies, including shark deterrents and barriers. What kind of new methods of shark attack prevention were discovered during this review?
Since that review, we've initiated our shark strategy, and that has a range of focuses. Probably the three major ones is to look at deterrence and detection. So detection is through surveillance and sort of other means of trying to find out where sharks are near swimmers and trying to give early warnings for the presence of sharks. And so we've done that through increased our helicopter surveillance. We have helicopters now flying basically from Tweed River down through the south coast. And in the north coast, for example, they'll fly every day of the school holidays, every weekend day, and they give some warnings if they see sharks near swimmers. And they've very effectively warned people to, you know, clear the water on a number of occasions. So that's the first surveillance technique. The other surveillance technique we've been trialling, and this is a new technology, has been the use of drones, unmanned aerial surveillance vehicles, to look at for sharks. And we've been quite successful in that technology. We're at our phase three of trials where we've contracted pilots that have been properly accredited. We're working with beach authorities to detect sharks. We've found they're equally as effective as helicopters under the circumstances that they can operate. So that's been a technology that's been through the shark strategy. We're also working closely with a group called Clever Boy to look at sonar technology for detection. We've actually got trials running at the moment in Port Stephens on that technology. So that offers some hope. Those three, the helicopters, the drones, and the Clever Boy are all techniques to detect sharks. Some of the other things that we're looking at is deterrence. And sort of, so for deterrence, we looked at barriers. And you might recall in the North Coast, we attempted to install two different barriers that would be a total exclusion barrier for sharks. Nothing like the mesh nets we're talking about now. These were total physical barriers that were supposed to be new materials and to be equipped for the East Coast conditions. Unfortunately, we trialled them. Unfortunately, the conditions were such that they could be unable to be installed safely, so that trial was unfortunately discontinued. But that's part of innovation. You trial stuff, some of it works, some of it doesn't, and that unfortunately was technology that didn't work. We've got other technologies that we're looking at for deterrence, and one of the best ones we're trying to work with is for personal protective devices, and we've had a small grants program. We've initiated some grants to help encourage the development of those technologies. The other thing is we're learning about shark behaviour, what changes their behaviour, and probably most importantly is where they move and how they move. And so we've tagged 63 sharks, and we're tracking them up and down the coast, trying to determine are their movements changing and where they move from. The other components of the strategy have been education, so to make sure that knowledge about sharks' movement, for example, but also the biology of sharks, is available to people. And we're doing that through a communication technique through our Shark Smart app. And for anyone that hasn't got the Shark Smart app, it's a very useful app. One of the things I think it does very effectively, it helps people to understand how they might reduce their risk when they go in the water. Should they not swim at dusk and dawn, not swim those large bait fish supplies, not fish in days when there's big discharges of rivers. Some of those simple techniques that help people reduce their risk of an encounter.
When I was doing my research, I stumbled across some research by Professor Sean Collin from the University of Western Australia, and he's been doing some cutting-edge research around sharks' vision, and he's discovered that sharks, especially great white sharks, don't have good colour vision. In fact, they almost kind of see in shades of green. How could this information be used to create shark deterrence? Is that something that's being considered?
We're not funding any work of that field ourselves, but you're right, there's a range of different technologies, whether it's vision, whether it's electric fields from sharks, that has the potential to play a role in personal protection or other deterrence devices. So I know there's been camouflaged and different coloured wetsuits, for example, different surfboards. Some of those techniques are being pursued. I would like to hope that if there's personal protective devices that are shown to be really effective and work well, and I'd like to think the government has a role in demonstrating and developing the technology and validating it. But then once that technology is available, I'd like to think there's a market force that helps promote it, and individual swimmers will take opportunities to purchase those devices to reduce their risk.
And in looking into this, subject matter, there are a lot of passionate groups of people who are very against shark nets. They say it has a devastating effect on marine life, and they say it's cruel because a lot of the sharks die when they get caught in the net, and other animals as well. And it's a technology that's kind of been around for about 80 years, I believe. So why is it still being used, and how close are you to moving away from that?
We'll try anything that we can to reduce the risk to swimmers, and we feel that the risk to people is the most important, our most important priority. So we're looking at a range of techniques, and the ideal technique is one that's non-lethal, doesn't have any adverse impact on any marine creature, but still reduce the risk. Now, until we find either that one single solution or a combination of solutions that meets those goals, we're willing to try. We need to try everything. And shark mesh nets have worked, have been successful in the areas that they've been used. And so that's why we're using them at the North Coast. And I think the community expects us to and has been requesting us to and supports that use of those nets.
And you've mentioned as well that you're doing a lot of research into shark behaviour and you've tagged a lot of sharks. So what are some of the things that you've discovered since doing that shark research?
The most standout initial finding that we have was that the sharks do not set up resident populations in one particular area. So we tagged a lot of sharks from the North Coast area. Now we found those sharks then joined the great population of white sharks on the East Coast and moved up down the coast. They move quite considerable distances. We've had sharks that have gone around as far as South Australia, around Tasmania, New Zealand. So sharks, you know, can travel very long distances and they don't tend to stay in one area for any considerable length of time. So that's been one important finding. It's also enabled us to then link, and this is an ongoing piece of work, is link their shark movements with other events that are happening, like large bait fish aggregations, like different current patterns. And as time moves on and we learn more about those interactions or those relationships between shark movements and other events, will help to put the piece of the picture together, if you like, to try and better understand and be predictive about when shark numbers might increase in an area.
The best methods to protect people from sharks continue to be tested on beaches all around the country, and indeed all around the world. As more is understood about sharks and shark behaviour, better technology can be developed. On the vanguard of some of these discoveries is Professor Sean Collin from the University of Western Australia, whose research focuses on sharks' ability to see. Sharks have poor vision and can't see in colour. Using this information, Professor Collin tested some possible shark deterrent methods, which bore promising results. Amongst these are a zebra wetsuit, which mimics the pattern of a highly poisonous sea snake, a flashing light designed to scare off a shark, and an electric pulse, which sharks are extremely sensitive to. These particular ideas are still very much in the testing phase. However, if effective personal protections can be developed, it could save lives of sharks, marine animals, and humans, as well as making everyone safer in the water.